Olivia?
It's getting exciting for the Frickers, isn't it? It's getting close. How many weeks to go? 6 weeks to go. Very good. Exciting times for them, for their family, and for our church as well. Alright, just get my sauce set up here. Alright, let me pray, and then we'll get into today's. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again for this time together, and as we've been saying, even though we can't do everything like we used to, we just want to thank you that we can still be together here, we can still online have a sense that we're part of a community of believers of Jesus. We want to thank you for those that served us, and we again just pray energy and perseverance for Darren and for Samantha up the back doing all the sound and video, and we thank you for those that have been sharing your music today. Thanks for Marley and Annabelle today and for their gifts of music. Thank you, God, to our new administration leaders team who are putting things into practice to do the right thing for COVID and all the things that have to be done there. So just thank you, God, for those that are putting their hand to the task at the moment. While some things are having a bit of a rest, we thank you for those that are serving. And now, God, we just want to pray that you'll help us to think clearly and wisely as we reflect on what you want the church to be. So help us to really listen to your Holy Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we're doing our series, Church Is. If you've been away for a bit, we started a series exploring what the church is, because now is a great time to be thinking, what really is the church? Because there's some things that have been changed, there's some things that have been taken away, some things we can't do. There's a whole lot of things where we can't do everything like we used to. So now is a great time to actually go, now hang on a minute, what really is the church? Are there some things we're learning during this time that we need to change? Are there some things that we need to hold on to and say, hang on a minute, let's get back to what the church really is supposed to be? We started the first week by setting the scene, by saying church isn't a building, it is what? People, right? Church is people. People matter most. Then last week we talked about church as a worshipping community. God has put us together to worship God together. He's done that because he deserves our worship, but he's especially done it so that we can encourage one another. And something special happens when believers gather in a whole lot of ways around a meal table and give thanks, around things we do in church services, including music and prayer and communion and giving together and all the different things that we do together in worship. And thanks to those that last week I asked us to worship together by sharing Bible verses and songs and things, because we're told in the New Testament, Colossians and Ephesians, to speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we're told to worship together. So well done to those that are, and I know there's a whole lot of people that were sending messages around of worship while we can't all meet together. So well done to those people. So church certainly is a worshipping community. It's one of the things at the heart of who we are, but it's not all we are. It did become all we were for a whole lot of reasons. We'll get to that in a moment, but it's not all we are. Well, I don't know if you know this guy. I've talked about him a few times in church over the years. William Carey. That's one of his great quotes. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. So expect that God's going to do good things, but make sure you're attempting great things as well. And he's often been labelled the father of modern missions. And throughout the Middle Ages, the church became solely focused on worship, ritual and tradition. That's what it became, the sole focus. And even today, I think we're carrying in our West a bit of hangover from that, with 60% of people calling themselves Christians because they do a bit of ritual sometime at Easter or Christmas. So the whole church became all about all these rituals you do in worship, just solely focused on a worshipping community, even though it was empty worship. It wasn't from the heart. Because last week, remember, we talked our whole life is supposed to be worship. Everything you do is supposed to be an act of worship, whether you're here Sunday or whatever you do tomorrow. And so along comes this guy, William Carey. He's a young Baptist minister. It's the late 1700s, and he's only just getting going, and he's there with all these older Baptist pastors and ministers that have been running things. And he's at a meeting, and he stands up at this meeting, and he's only new and young, and he starts to argue that they've got to take the good news of Jesus to the world. Right? We've got to get going here. We've got to get moving. and he was just shut down. One older pastor, a minister, stands up and here's his quote: "Young man, sit down, you're an enthusiast. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he'll do it without consulting you or me." That's what he was told. Don't worry about those people. When God chooses to save people, he'll do it without chatting to us about it. Don't worry about it. Well, how did the church get so off task on what it was actually designed to be? Well, even now, growing up in church, for me, if you were talked about mission or if you were going to give to mission, it was just those special people that went overseas, right? Even now in churches, say, here's the mission budget people will have, and it's for these people that go to some far-off place, to India or Indonesia or all these great places. Now, some people have a special calling to go to cross-cultural mission overseas, and we should support them, we should give to them, we should pray for them more and more and more than we do. And so we want to just acknowledge those that give up so much to go overseas as missionaries. But the problem is, mission became something just for those few people. There's the missionaries, and the rest of us, well, we sit at home and have a good time. Well, I think the next thing when we think about church we want to explore is we want to say church is a mission community. The whole community is on mission. All of us. It's actually one of the keys to being the church. We are a sent people into our world. It's not an optional extra. It's actually at the very heart of who we are as a church is a mission community. Well, what are we talking about as a mission community? Well, we're talking about things like this. Here's how some people have explained it: announcing and demonstrating the reign of God in Christ. At the heart of being a mission community, that we're a church is a mission community, is the fact that our God reigns. All right? Everyone who's here in the building, you can say it on at home as well. Everyone say, "Our God reigns." Yeah, right? Can you believe that? He's in charge. He's over all things. The whole world is his. Nothing can change that. Nothing we do or don't do is going to change the fact that our God reigns. The psalmist says, "The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice." There was an old song like that, wasn't there? The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. This is where it starts, this mission. There's a reality going on around us. Whether people believe it or not, it doesn't matter whether your next door neighbour believes it or not, no matter what anyone says, our God reigns. He is king over all the earth, and one day that is going to be seen. So what we're trying to do is to announce, to speak, and to show that our God reigns. Make sense? This mission. Here's another way, a similar way of saying it. We go to the, if I get my little phone working here. There we go. Alerting people to the rule of God through Jesus with words and actions. So I've got this reality that God rules, God reigns. It's his world. There is going to be judgment, there's going to be heaven, and there's going to be reward and celebration. There's also going to be that judgment we said. Our God reigns over all the earth. And what we're trying to do is not to make God reign, because he already reigns. What we're trying to do is to alert people to that fact, okay? We've been sent as the church to let people know our God reigns through Jesus Christ. And we're doing it with words and we're doing it with actions. Our church mission statement captures this a little bit. Sharing the life-changing good news of Jesus in our community with words of hope and acts of love. Our church mission statement starts with we're sharing. We're a church that goes, we're going to share this. And how do we do it? Words of hope, acts of love. We're going to speak it and we're going to show it. So the reality that our God reigns is where mission starts, and the reality that nothing can change the fact that our God reigns, but that God has sent us to alert people to that fact with words and with actions. You know, it all starts with, I guess, in a sense, that God is a missionary God. Because when the earth went wrong, when sin came into the world and was broken, right, and now we have death and sickness and suffering and cancer and crying and grieving, when all these things came into the world and the world was broken, God, as a missionary God, started to fix it, right? First, he sent Abraham. You know Abraham? And he said, "Abraham, I'm sending you, and you're going to be a blessing to all nations. Through you is going to be a blessing to all nations." So God sent Abraham to be sent to the world. He sent the nation Israel, didn't he, to be a kingdom of priests. Priests They were the ones that had to mediate between God and people. So he said Israel is this people that was going to mediate between God and people. But ultimately, the greatest act of mission Jesus did was he sent who?
Jesus.
His son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world,
but to save it
through him. He sent his son. This was his greatest missionary act, when he didn't leave us in judgment and he sent his son. God is a missionary God. I like the way the message captures this in John 1:14. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I love the way the message captures that, because that's what Jesus did. God became flesh and blood, and he himself moved into the neighborhood, lived with people, ate with people. God is a missionary God. But when God himself is a missionary God, he then sends the church. Matthew 28, we read before. Therefore, sit down, have a cup of tea, look after each other. Does that sound like what Jesus said? Yeah, it sounds good, doesn't it? We can do that as well. But what did Jesus say? What's the second word? Therefore, go. Get on your bikes, church. Go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. We're going to honor that today. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them to go. Did you know every single gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right near the end of their gospel, has a part where Jesus tells the church to go. You're sent. You're on mission. You're not just a little club to look after yourselves. Every single gospel. And then just before Jesus goes to heaven, when we get into Acts 1, he says, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in your local area, in Judea, in the greater area, in Samaria, in your nation, and to the very ends of the earth, Jesus said. You're on mission. So many verses we could talk about in the Bible. I've always liked this one in Matthew 14:16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I've said before, I grew up in Sunday school. We sang lots of good little Sunday school songs. Anyone remember This Little Light of Mine?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone remember, you know, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. And there's one there that says, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. And it's trying to capture this verse where Jesus says, the church is not a little club to sit and be comfortable. You're sent to be salt and light. You've got to get moving. You've got to see yourself as people on mission. Why on earth would a church open a gymnasium? Because we want to meet people and tell them about Jesus, right? Why would Luke run around with 40 crazy teenagers on a Friday night? He wants them to know Jesus, right? It's not just something to do on a Friday night. He likes the footy. He'd probably sit in the spa and watch the footy with me. You know? Sounds good, doesn't it? But we're on mission. And we recognise the church is not a club. It's a people that are sent with the good news of Jesus Christ. This week, we're having dinner the other night, and Sam went to open a can, and the can opener wouldn't open the can. You know, they never seem to last can openers, do they? I don't know. Who's got a good one? So is the can opener still a can opener if it doesn't open cans anymore? Interesting question. Is it the essence of what it is or the function that makes it what it is? It's a can opener. If it doesn't open cans anymore, is it actually still a can opener? I don't know. Or is it just a piece of metal? If the church is not on mission, is it still the church? Interesting reflection. Now, at our hearts, we're still the church if we've accepted Jesus, because no matter what we do or say, we accept Jesus and Jesus says, I accept you. So really, the church is the church because of Jesus' death and resurrection. We're part of the body of Christ. And yet, there's a sense that the church is not being the church if we're not on mission, if we're just sitting around and looking after ourselves. One of our church values, actually, is being a mission-shaped church. And it does two things. See, it says recognizing and acting on our identity as people sent. So the first thing one of our values says is we recognize we are actually sent to the world to let them know about Jesus. Right? We're going to recognize We're can openers. No, we're missionaries. But we're also going to act on it. There's a lot of talk in churches about being on mission, and then no one actually wants to go and do anything to make themselves uncomfortable, to give up their time, their money, their energy, because I just want to be comfortable and make sure people look after me. People don't want to change anything because they like what they like. I don't want to change anything. We've got to recognise where mission is and then actually act on it. That where people are sent to our community to announce and demonstrate the reign of Jesus Christ. A number of years ago now, Rick Warren wrote a book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It sold like 30 million copies. It became New York Times bestseller. It was a great, great little book. I've got a copy upstairs. And it very simply went through what he saw as five purposes of the church. And the book starts, actually, the first line of the book says, it's not about you, it's about God. I like that little start of the book, that line. And this was his little capture of what he thought the five purposes of the church: worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism. It is how he saw it. You can probably summarise a couple of those, and here's a popular way of looking at the fourfold purposes of the church. And this is quite common around people saying, well, here's what the church is about. We're about community. An older term is the word fellowship. There's something in the Bible that says there is something internal about the church, where how we relate and love together. There's a lot in the Bible about that, and we're going to get to that another week. We're a worship community. We started that last week. Discipleship is another purpose of the church, that we're making disciples, teaching. Jesus said, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So we're discipleship. And then mission, we're on mission. We're sent to take this to the world. Well, what happened throughout the Middle Ages is the church became completely absorbed with and functioned completely around the idea that church is just about worship. As we said last week, that's part of it. And churches were completely organized just around a church service. That's all they cared about. And they lost all the other purposes of the church. So what's happening now is churches are saying, hang on a minute, we're people that are sent. God has actually told the church, you actually exist for the benefit of outsiders. You're sent. And so churches now are trying to organise themselves around mission. Doesn't mean the other purposes aren't as important. We are a worshipping community. We should have fellowship and community and love. We should be discipling people. But when we organise ourselves around a worship service, we lose a lot of the rest. When we organise ourselves around missions, we still worship together and do discipleship and community when we do missions, but we do all of them together. Well, the Apostle Paul, I think, had a bit of a hold of this. Now, the Apostle Paul, the word apostle means sent. So, yes, the Apostle Paul is a pretty special guy. And besides Jesus, the next kind of human I always look at the Bible that I'm amazed by is Paul, right? You read about the Apostle Paul. He's just an amazing, amazing man that God used. But his attitude, I think, is ours. Now, we read before 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23. I just want to highlight again a couple of things from the Apostle Paul there. Because the Apostle Paul, certainly for him, organized himself around mission. He still worshipped, he still did fellowship, he still discipled, but he organized himself around mission. Notice a couple of things that we read. He said he's a free man, but he becomes a slave to all people. I mean, I'm free to do what I want. I'm not under the bondage of the law anymore with this set of rules and regulations. I'm a free man, but I choose to make myself a servant or a slave to people so that I can win them to Christ. He talks about when he's with the Jews and when he's with those that aren't Jews. So all the different people that he's with, he will make sure he can relate to those people. He'll give up some of the stuff he likes to relate to those people. He will connect with people. He will meet people on their terms, not on his terms. He'll do all he can so that by some way he can become all things to all people. This is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is the ultimate missionary, but his attitude is supposed to be ours. Where we are willing to give things up. We're willing to meet people on their terms and not say, look, if you can be like me, well, then I'm going to love you, then I'll eat with you, and then we'll chat. No, the Apostle Paul says, I'm on mission. I'm going to make sure I can relate to people I'm going to make sure they feel they're safe and welcome in my space. Where we've tried to capture some of this in our church value mission shaped, says that church life is shaped with a concern for and a priority for reaching people who don't yet know Jesus. We've said we're a church, we're sent to the world, and we're going to make sure if there's an opportunity to reach people that aren't here and aren't watching online, we're going to do that. And secondly, we've said that we're going to sacrifice things for the sake of building bridges with those that don't know Jesus. You know, sometimes things over time in churches have changed, and I know it's hard for people, myself included. But we've got to be open to new things, to new ways, to change, so that we can reach some, like the Apostle Paul said. Sometimes we've got to give up some of the stuff that we might like for the sake of reaching some and actually believe that it's worth it. And the other problem that comes with this is we then say we're a missional church, so we just run some programs and let the experts do it. And we run a youth group and we run a gym and we let Lynn, the gym chaplain, go and do that. And Luke can run the youth group and we say we're a missional church. When all the missionaries are here sitting in front of me. Is that right? All of us. All of us sent. Do you know the biggest Baptist church in Australia is in Victoria? In Melbourne, mostly. They've got some church plants of all places at the moment. Crossway Baptist. Thousands of people in that church. And they've got some programs they run. But the whole way they're doing church is around disciples making disciples. And what they have this value, the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. And everyone is expected to be on mission. And everyone is expected and taught that you can go and read the Bible with a non-Christian and you can help lead them to Christ. It's not just left to the experts. They have one of their values that says, everyone gets to play. I like that value. Everyone gets to play. Now, their top value is Jesus first. So it doesn't mean anything goes. Because if anything goes off what Jesus says, they say, hang on a minute, our first value is Jesus first. But their next value is everyone gets to play. Everyone's expected to be on mission. And how they're growing the church and seeing lots and lots and lots of people come to faith is ordinary people like you and me sitting in the pews going and making disciples because we're on mission together and not leaving it to the experts. Every person on mission. Well, let me just, before we finish, I want to suggest to you just a couple of things I've been reflecting on that I see people with a real mission heart do. And there's going to be a lot more. Some experts have written books on this that know more than me. But these are just some things for us to reflect on. Here's some things that I think people do that have a real heart for this. They go, you know what? I'm on mission. I'm not at church because it's a club that people are going to look after me. It's nice that they look after me and we should care for one another. But I'm not just here to be looked after. We are on mission. Here's some things that I think people do that are on mission. First of all, I think they pray for opportunities. They actually get on their knees and they're going, God, I need to talk to someone today. I need to show someone God's love. I need the opportunity to show someone a different way of living. A way where I want to live a questionable life, where people go, and I don't mean in that negative term, that sounds like a negative term, didn't you? A questionable person. But the Bible says we should have a questionable life where people are going and they're asking questions and you're ready with an answer. Always be prepared to give an answer for the faith you have, says 1 Peter. And so I want to be praying, God, give me opportunities to show people the kingdom way, not the way of the world. Give me opportunities to open my mouth. Give me opportunities to build relationship. I think people that see themselves as missionaries are praying for opportunities all the time. All the time. The second thing I think people are doing that see themselves on mission is they're preparing for opportunities. And they're doing that by listening and learning. What do I mean there? The first thing is they're listening to God. They're people that will sit in silence. We gave a challenge last year about this, that every week having a time of silence with God and listening. We're also busy. Don't just do your 2-minute devotional reading you've done and think that's it. At least once a week, if you can do it once a day, even better, but at least once a week, go and just sit with God and listen. God, what are you saying to me about how things are going in my life, in the world, who you want me to talk to? Sit with God and listen and then learn. Take opportunities to grow in faith. Do it on your own through Bible reading, prayer, but take opportunities to do training courses, to get to Bible studies, to do things that are happening. Read books that people talk about. take opportunities to learn. People that see themselves on mission are doing this. They're listening to God and they're learning. The third thing I think people are doing that are on mission is they're promoting love and justice and reconciliation and truth. They're not angry, bitter people that are negative. They're people that are trying to show the world that you can love, that there should be justice. They're standing up. Proverbs says to stand up for the poor and the vulnerable. People that are on a mission are doing this. They're standing up for what is true and what is good. They're saying, no, this isn't right that these people are suffering and hurting. A fourth thing people do who are on mission is they participate in church and local community. People who are on mission, they're part of church, because if they're not, they're disconnected from the body and you're not a person. Look, we said the other week, the body is all parts. You can't do it alone. So people that are on mission are connected to and serving in church, but they're also participating in their local community. All their friends aren't Christians. Everyone they eat with isn't a Christian. Everyone they have coffee with next week isn't a Christian. People that are on mission are participating in their local community. And one of my challenges is to eat or at least have a cuppa every week with someone inside and outside the church. Every week. It's not that hard. Have a meal with them if you can, but just at least have a cup of tea, have a drink at the pub after work, whatever it takes. Make sure you're eating and drinking with people in the church, but also people outside of the church. Here's an easy way to do it. Join the gym. We go out for coffee all the time. It's really easy to do it then. Meet lots of people all the time. But people that are on mission are participating in the local community. They're the Jason Benz, our chaplain down at the surf club, right? They're people I know that go to work and are praying for their work colleagues and looking for opportunities and chatting with me, going, I had this great conversation at work this week. This person, they're in crisis and they turned to me and I was able to just tell them that I care about them. And people that are on mission are participating in their local community as well. And I couldn't think of a fifth P, so I've gone with an S word just to wreck the P acronym. People on mission are like the Apostle Paul, and they're sacrificing their own wants and likes. Now, the reality is, who do you think the best people to reach the surfers are? Who do you reckon? Christian surfers, right? Who's the best Christians to reach the local car club? Christians are like cars. So we don't have to give up everything, because, in fact, when you're on mission, the things that God's made you to like and to love and be part of, that's the best place to do mission. So we're not saying we completely don't become ourselves and say, okay, well, I really don't like sports, but I'm going to go and join the church soccer team. I'm completely uncoordinated and I hate it, but I've got to do what I don't like. No, we're not saying that. The best people to reach the sports community are people that like to go and play sports together. But what the Apostle Paul did is he met people on their terms, and he was actually willing to give some stuff up. And even, look, you know, I have a role in Hunter Baptist churches, and at times there's even churches with a few little people that are shrinking and have been declining for years. And one of the reasons they're declining is they refuse to change and do anything new. And anyone that tries and does anything new, they go, we don't like that. This is how we've always done it. And one of the reasons these churches have had years of decline is because no one's ever been willing to go, it's not about me, it's what can we do to reach people for Jesus. And I'm going to give some stuff up. And they might not sing my favourite song, but we're on mission together. It might be a bit noisy at times with all these rowdy people, kids running around and banging on the chairs, but we're on mission. And I want to see kids growing up knowing Jesus. At times, people that are on mission give stuff up. You know, I'm a bit of an introvert, which is a bit surprising for a pastor. You think I'm standing in front of people and I'm always parts of groups. But I much prefer just either a small group or even my own company at times. I'd rather go and have four people around a meal table than go to a big party. But sometimes I go to big parties when things are on, right? Yeah, you do that because it's not your favourite context, but you want to bless and love the person and chat with people, right? And so I go and be part of that and can enjoy that because I'm there with people that I love, with someone that's, I'm there for a reason because someone's important to me. And I do that and I sacrifice my preference for the sake of the other people. This is what the church is supposed to do. Be a missionary ministry, in the place God's put you, in your workplace, with your friends, with people that like the same things that you. We've got youth online gaming. We've got people being missionaries that like gaming. If you like that, go and, you know, be a missionary to the Minecraft community to your heart's content. It's not for me. And we spend too long trying to get our kids off Minecraft, but that's a whole other story. Be a missionary how God's made you, but remember at times we've got to give stuff up for the sake of reaching people for Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul, that last line of that little passage we read, it says in verse 23, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. How exciting would it be as we go on mission together if instead of 2 or 3 or 4 baptisms a year, it's 10 or 20? Anyone else actually get excited by that? I mean, how good would that be? How good would it be to have testimonies every week, you know, and I've decided to follow Jesus because our church recognises we're on mission. How good would it be to have, and this is already happening with some people, that people are sitting down and reading the Bible with their non-Christian friends and going, wow, I can do this. We've actually got a group that's starting some discipleship coaching that we're going to be taking to you, church, over the next 2 years, helping us as a church to have everyone on mission, disciples making disciples. So let's recognise we are a mission community. It doesn't mean it's the only thing we do. We are a worshipping community. We're going to talk in weeks coming about how we're also a loving community together. There's other parts. But what we do is we organise ourselves around being a sent people. We're still going to worship. We're still going to fellowship. We're still going to do discipleship. But we're going to organise ourselves as missionaries that are sent. And that's what we're going to focus our energy around and do all those other purposes at the same time. So my question is, first of all, do you recognise you're a missionary? But the second thing is, do you actually act on it? It's all well and good to say we're all sent people. And then statistics show in Australia that 90% of Christians in Australia have never in their life sat down and read the Bible with a non-Christian. Most Christians sitting in Australian churches have never talked about Jesus to their friends or their family. Now, our church is a bit better than that, but we've still got a lot to learn, right? All of us, myself included. The reality is our God reigns, and that means there is heaven and hell. There is the joy of knowing God and all that captures, or there is the absolute confusion and misery of life now, not knowing what on earth life's about, and in the future, spending eternity without God. But God sent his son to you and me. He's a missionary God. And then his son sent the church to go and let people know with words and with actions. We are a group of people on mission. Let's never lose that mission heart where we just become self-focused. Let's be willing to do all these things for, like the Apostle Paul said, so we can share in the blessings of the gospel and save some. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, first of all, that you're the greatest missionary that sent your son. Above anything we do, it wouldn't matter at all if you didn't first send Jesus to us. Thank you, Jesus, that you moved into the neighbourhood and showed us that you do eat and drink with people and love them and pray with them and talk to them, regardless whether some listened to you and some didn't listen to you, but you just still did it anyway. You connected to the own people there with your disciples and your followers. You connected with the community. Help us to do the same. Lord, give us that servant heart that the Apostle Paul had, where he would just give up things. Even though he's a free man, he would consider himself a servant or a slave to people so that he might win some. Help us to win some, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to have an attitude where we can sacrifice some things for the sake of reaching some. Help us, God, to all be on mission. And finally, God, I do want to recognise and pray for those that have been called to overseas mission, because us as local missionaries in no way deters from their sacrifice, their calling. And we thank you for those that have been called. We pray for Global Interaction, our Baptist missionary agency, for all the many people in that organisation. Lord, give them wisdom, give them courage of faith, give them finance, that those that are called to overseas mission might have all they need to take Jesus to the world as you instructed. And help us to support them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.